الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل مولود يولد على الفطرة، إلى آخر الحديث. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، إلى آخر الحديث. وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected mothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in His kindness has given us this opportunity through the efforts of Khadimatuddin today to discuss this very, very important subject of the upbringing of children. We have to congratulate Khadimatuddin for the beautiful and wonderful services they are rendering, and may this carry on always in the parameters of Sharia and under the guidance of the ulama, so that we always remain on the straight path. May Allah reward them tremendously, and may Allah Ta'ala accept it fully. This is a very important subject, as every subject of deen is also very, very important. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn our deen completely and to practice upon it completely. Allah Ta'ala grant us with ilm sahih, the correct knowledge, fahm sahih, correct understanding, amal sahih, and the correct practice also, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, about 3 talks in the series have been completed, and wonderful, very, very important and good talks. May Allah give us all tawfiq to listen to them again and again, absorb them, and to practice upon them and to propagate them. Tell other family members, tell friends, etc. There are 2 aspects we can look at the subject. One is a short term, an individual, an immediate solution. So with regard to that, like we are all facing problems with our children, growing up our children, some way it might be, may Allah protect us, they are addicted to the cell phone. Sometimes it may be, Allah protect us, a drug problem. Sometimes girlfriend, boyfriend problem, various problems. One aspect of sorting this out is to look at that particular problem and sort it out. But this is a short term, and these are individual, one-one problems. And we can carry on, and one problem is finished, another problem arises, but that also has to be addressed. Like, for example, a little boy was swimming in the water and he was drowning. He couldn't swim or whatever it might be. So he was shouting for help. So an old man started lecturing him that, why didn't you first learn to swim? Why aren't you swimming where the lifesavers are so that they could save you if you come in trouble? So the little boy replied and said that, old man, uncle, first save me and give me bayan afterwards. First save me. So when we have these problems, we have to take out our children, we have to help them, and afterwards we give them a lecture that why you fell into this, you shouldn't. But that is all the time it will carry on. That is a short-term solution, which is also necessary. And Alhamdulillah, which has been discussed and covered. What I'm going to try, and if we all, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq, everything is in the hands of Allah, is a long-term solution. Is the actual solution, and we have to come on that lifestyle, on that way of life, then inshallah we won't even face these problems and our lives will go smooth sailing. Really, Islam has come to give us a life of Jannat in this world already, so we have to get into that lifestyle. So we all know that we are living in the world. Nobody can deny that in the present world, whether we call it a Western lifestyle, whether we call it a modern lifestyle, whether we call it the environment which we find ourselves caught in. Yeah, also one very important point our elders point out is that it is not the times that make us. It is not the environment that makes us. No, a mu'min should be so strong that he changes the times. And he changes the environment. Whether it is a mother, whether it is a father, whether like all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam came usually when the times were very, very bad. People were idol worshipping. People were doing everything wrong. But they changed the tide. And they got it moving in the correct direction. How many women have such a great share in this? As it is commonly said that every great man has got the support of a woman behind him. His mother, his sister, his wife mostly it is. They are the main support. Outwardly it looks like the man is doing everything, but it is the great, great support of the woman. So we also should work in that direction of how to turn the tide. Don't just accept. Now also one thing is we accept the present environment. Then we are facing all these problems. We call it a modern lifestyle. We call it a Western lifestyle. Whatever we call it, so it comes with all its baggage and with all its problems also. If we can live an Islamic lifestyle, then inshallah, we won't have all these problems. So for that, I will request now for all of us that we are wearing our present shoes, that is of this present life. Or the Western lifestyle, the modern lifestyle, if we can take out that shoes and put on Islamic shoes, that we are pure Muslims and a pure Islamic environment. In that aspect, I want to present a few things for myself firstly, and then for all of us. So, and at least for 1 hour, let us now put on our Islamic shoes and understand that we are Muslims. And we have to submit totally and fully towards Islam. Now keep that in mind, if Allah gives tawfiq, I will remind also now and then that we have got our Islamic shoes on. And we are in a pure Islamic environment. And from that aspect, we are discussing our subject. So I will try and discuss the subject in 4 aspects. The 3 are the main ones and the 4th is a practical one. The first one is the physical, the bodily upbringing of our children. And that everyone, hopefully, perhaps very few, but almost everyone, we give due importance to that. That the body of the child, it must get food, clothing, shelter, all that basic things that we all understand. That is a very important aspect, and that is also bringing up of the children. Then the second aspect which I would like to discuss is the education of the child. That also we understand to a great, great extent. Perhaps few people in the world don't concern themselves with the education of the children, but this is also with that by and large, everyone is concerned. However, as we will discuss, we are mainly or perhaps only concerned of their worldly education. Yeah, I'll just make a little distinction. It isn't Western education. It isn't secular education that we must give the children. Secular is everything minus Allah Ta'ala. Allah doesn't come in that equation. Like a secular government, there is nothing, no share for Allah in there. It is only man who control everything. And this is what is given at schools and universities today, as a secular education, where there is no share of Allah Ta'ala, in other words, an atheistic view. And that is, of course, totally alien to us as Muslims. And then in that same context also, very, very few of us give even little importance to Islamic education. So that is the second point which we will discuss, inshallah. The third point, which perhaps we are totally neglecting, and which is the very fundamental and important point, and that is character building. Or call it tarbiyat, or call it islah. But to build such morals, such values in the child, that remain with that child. We will discuss that. And then again, as I said, I will try and remind ourselves that we are wearing our Islamic shoes now, and we are Muslims. We are not being influenced by the environment around us, at least for this 1 hour or so, that we are now proper Muslims and we are looking at it through Islamic eyes and wearing Islamic glasses. And just like a person, if he's got green, his glasses are tinted green, he sees everything green. If they are tinted blue, he sees everything blue. So now, not tinted, but dyed, but dyed, but dye our eyes permanently. Not only for this hour Allah give us tawfiq, but that we are Muslims. We are not going to be influenced by the environment. We will change the environment. And Allah Ta'ala, Hadith-e-Paak says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. One person makes that firm resolution that I'm going to change the environment, Allah's help comes to that person. Allah give me tawfiq to be sincere, and that we think no matter what test will come, but I'm going to change it, at least in my life, at least in my home, at least in my circles, I'm going to bring an Islamic, not just that we flow with the tide, but a mu'min is he who flows against the wrong tide. Against the wrong tide, like a lion, it flows against the river tide. So we are mu'minin. We are mu'min. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to move in that direction. So, and then the fourth will be the practical, how we should bring up our children. So for that, the first one, that is how we have to bring our the children up, and that is the bodily, what we are doing. Here I will try and mention a few things that we shouldn't be doing, or that we are doing but we shouldn't be doing, and what the correct thing is. So as far as that is concerned, when the child is born, they automatically have certain bad qualities in them. Before that, as I read in the hadith, the translation of the ayah that I've read is a dua, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي, and O Allah, correct for me in my children. Make our children, our progeny, that we are all correct, we are on the right way. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ, I've made tawbah to you. And here also, from this point, and right till the end again, we should remind ourselves, we should not become despondent. We know what the condition is out there, what our children, what's happening, all the environment at school, what the TVs, what the cell phone, everything what is around. We get so frightened, we hear stories of how children get involved in drugs, in alcohol, in what and what. So, that we make tawbah, I've made mistakes. We have to understand that we as parents have made serious mistakes, and in the upbringing of our children also we have made serious mistakes. وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I'm just an ordinary Muslim, I'm not a holier-than-thou attitude should not be there, I'm not amongst the other people, the kafirin, or I'm not amongst the wrongdoers, I submit to you, Ya Allah. I've made mistakes, and I submit to you. Oh Allah, correct me. So children, they are born with a clean sheet. When they come in this world, they come in with a clean sheet. And then the hadith says that if then the parents either make the child a Christian, if he's born in a Christian home, now they make him a Christian, all those things are prevalent in that environment. If he's a Jewish home, he becomes a Jew. If he's a Majusi, fire worshipper, or anything else, that is what he becomes. If he's in a Muslim home, then that is, he should be a Muslim. So in other words, we have to have that environment in the house from before the child comes. If we are getting some special visitors, then if it's winter, before time we put on the heaters, we put on the aircon, we adjust the temperature. If it's summer, before time we put on the aircon, the fans. So like that, before this great visitor and guest of ours come, the newborn child, it isn't only that we arrange for nappies and we arrange for the clothes. No, we have to build an Islamic environment. Now the child must be welcomed into an Islamic environment. So when we don't do that, then this child gets influenced. That is another long subject, we won't go into that. But the child that is made with the sperm, and what the parents ate, which made that blood and which made that sperm, what the mother ate, and the sperm that is made, that is what the child becomes. And today we know what food we are eating. I commonly say that if the father, mother ate khajur of Medina Sharif, and the child was, that blood was made of the khajur of Medina, the dates of Medina, and then the blood was made, the sperm was made, then the child, hopefully, and he is also being nourished, we make technique, hopefully we all do the technique, and properly, sometimes we do the technique after how long? We should do it immediately. And if that khajur was there, then this child will be a madani. And if they grew up with the water of Zamzam of Makkah, the parents also drank that, the children also had that, and the tahniq was also soaked little bit in Zamzam water, then the child will be a Makki. But if the parents were eating junk food, and the child also is brought up on junk food, and today how we children are brought up on junk food. Mother doesn't want to breastfeed the child. She's worried of her figure. Whereas even the scientists say that the best milk for the child is the mother's milk. But if that milk also is produced with junk food, then we have to accept it, the child is going to be a junkie. And today it's not even, the children also don't feel shy. They say we eat junk food. Everyone accepts it. So if we're going to eat that, that is what we are going to become. So we have to be very careful. And now we have reached that stage, what we call the junk food, it is prepared in the houses now. Not only that we buy from the takeaways, our original food type that we used to eat, now we don't like that food anymore, it doesn't appeal to us. And new types of food that we have got. One time, Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was sitting at the Dasturkhan here in South Africa, and this is now how long ago. And the things that came on the Dasturkhan, they had to ask, what is this now? And how do you eat this now? Hey, so Hadraji said, ye aurto ki chonchle hai. This is all the planning and tricking of the woman. He said, you don't put them into tilawat of Quran. You don't put them into zikr. So what they're going to do? Now they are preparing all this food. So even this food is being prepared in our homes like that. So anyway, this bad habits which come into the children, one is of stubbornness. So that is also one that we have to make great effort to remove from the children. And this our ulama, Allah reward them tremendously, have said that the parents, and that is also on the basis of taqwa, then it comes into us. That we see when the child wants something, if it is good for the child, permissible also, all right for the child, then don't delay, give it to him immediately, give the child that immediately. And if we don't want to give it, we feel it's not good for the child, there is not the appropriate time, etc., then never give it. Then let the child, even if it cries or whatever, but don't give it. But when the child comes to know, as small as it might be, it knows by my screaming, by my crying, I get what I want. That child becomes what we call a ziddi child, a stubborn child. And throughout its life, even in bigger age, with the husband, with everyone, even in old age, with their children, they will know, I just have to put up some tantrums and people will give me what I want, even if it is wrong. So we have to work in that. The principle there is, if we feel it's good for the children, it's right, and then give it immediately, don't delay. And if we feel it's not right, it's not appropriate, not now, never give in to their demands, then that habit will go out of them. So that is one big thing. The other thing is also very, very important, which we have got, unfortunately, even if we don't look at it from an Islamic point of view, and that is overfeeding the children. And this has resulted in obesity, overfeeding, and overfeeding with junk food. It has created an international, universal problem. America, whichever country, Europe, one of the biggest health problems of children is obesity. And this again, a beautiful example is given by our buzurgs, our elders. If we only worried of giving the children the food that they want, and we make them happy with that, we feel the child is growing up, he must get more food, he's necessary for him, and we just keep on giving this food and the junk food on top of it, which got no nutrition in it, then what happens? It's like an animal that is being prepared for the slaughterhouses. An animal is given lot of food because when he has to be sold, and he has to go to the, he must be nice and fat, that animal. In fact, very sadly, our chickens that we buy, chicken, their brine is injected into them to blow up like the size, the breath, so that, and we want all the white meat. It isn't meat, it is that brine that we are having. And it is injected into the chicken, and then it blows, the weight increases, and the size increases. But it isn't healthy at all. So our children also, very important. Yeah, we are not, the children won't go to that slaughterhouse, the literal slaughterhouse. But they are going to another slaughterhouse, the illnesses they pick up. With this overeating, many of them become epileptic. And then we got another problem with that. Where sugar disease comes. And sugar is a silent killer. Blood pressure either mostly goes too high now. With all the salt in all the things, our crisps, etc., all the nice salty things that we eat, our chips, and we enjoy so much. But this causes again high blood pressure and a host of other problems. With obesity, a host of problems. And the sad part is also, me, Allah, forgive me also, and Allah correct us all. We only look at the immediate, now the children must be happy. They must be given everything. Later in life, we were their enemies. We gave them the wrong thing. Later in life, they become our enemies. Now they sit with illnesses. Now we got a problem. Now we're facing again individual problems. If at this time we control the children, we control our nafs first. And we control our children, then inshallah we won't have any problems. The nafs also, the children. Allama Abu Sayri rahmatullah alayh, in his famous Qasida Burda Sharif, he says, An-nafsu kat-tif. Nafs is like a child. So this the comparison I will make, that's like the nafs, it has got a lot of demands all the time. You fulfill those demands, the wrong demands, then later you suffer the consequence. The children, they also have a lot of demands. You fulfill their wrong demands, later in life you have plenty of problems. So that is one thing also we should be concerned about and correct. And again, remind ourselves, we are sitting with our Islamic shoes, we are sitting in a pure Islamic environment. I'm a proper Muslimah, and I own only Islam is around me, not the contemporary world. At least for this 1 hour, take us out from the other world that we are in. The other thing that we have to be very careful is the dressing of our children. Today that is also a thing that we're making big, big mistakes. Little girls, 8, 9 year old girls, the way we dress them, they look like a grown up woman. And then lot of the what is happening, I know very little. You people know much more what's happening out in the world and what abuse is taking place of children. And not by strangers. This type of abuse takes place by family members. Sometimes a grandfather is involved also. Uncles are involved because a human being is such that temptations are there. And he falls prey to the temptations. Insan, khuliqal insanu za'ifa. Man has been created weak. And wherever he finds this occasion, we fall prey to this. And this we should hear usually only of the non-Muslims. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, cases of Muslims of these things also are coming today to the fore. And one's own little daughters, fathers get involved also. And the temptation is there, the way we dress the children. Sometimes in the house, we expose their thighs, that she's just in the girl, that little child, that she's so innocent, but all these things are exposed and lot of wrong things then happen. So therefore, it is very important that we check on that. Besides that, the pictures, murals that are on clothing today, which is also so common, and the best is to have plain clothing. Women can have, are permitted little bright colors, boys must be preferably only white. And there is a whole scientific subject that what colors have effect on a person. And color, it has been found that when women put on this bright color nail polish, lipstick, that triggers their anger. And they become angry very quickly. And if you have a light color thing, for example, your clothes and that, then that is a thing that will bring such, you will be quite timid, you will be quite under control. So that also we have to think about. And there are quite a few things to discuss. So unfortunately, I'll just have to make it as brief as I can. Then, of course, another terrible thing also which we have to watch is music, which is in the toys and in the shoes also. There are those toys and shoes. And music, it has come in the Hadith Sharif, that it causes hypocrisy to come in the heart more faster than some plants that grow overnight up to 4 meters. More faster than that, hypocrisy comes into the heart. Another very sad part here, again now, we are Muslim women, so the Muslim woman doesn't go out to work. A Muslim woman stays in the house. And staying in the house, what does that mean? She's in the house. Not that she's at home, but she's going to the gym every day or so. She's going jogging. She's going shopping. She's going visiting, etc. all the time. No, the woman is at home. And at home again, which is that woman? Not the woman who's watching TV all the time. Not the woman who is busy with her cell phone all the time. And she doesn't watch her children. Staying at home, I'll take it one point further. Alhamdulillah, many of us are happy that in our town, for example, Azadville, in fact, there are posters prepared also that how many Dini programs are taking place for women. Yeah, this program, there, that program. Women must attend like more or less one program a week. If we find that our elders, that they prescribed one, then otherwise also she's out of the house. Who are you going to then entrust your child to? To the domestic? And then what qualities the domestic will have? We have to understand that the Muslim, we are now again, we are with our Muslim shoes. That Muslimah who has got Muslim qualities, those qualities have to rub off on the child. And this is mainly, primarily the mother. Father is going out to earn. He has to go out. And the mother is at home. And at this point, I'll just speak of this also. It is one of the duties of the mother that she speaks to the children in such a way that, see, your father is a very good man. He works so hard for us. He earns all the time. I listen to him. Whatever he says, I listen. You people also must listen to your father. You must respect him. Whatever he says, you must do. He works so hard for us. From morning to night, he's earning. And it's the father's duty to create in the child the mother's great respect and love. That your mother is very good. How well she serves me. She does everything for me. There isn't a better mother than your mother. And she is a very good woman. So if that is the case, and parents must never fight in front of the children. Parents must never belittle the children in front of one another. If they have to be disciplined, there is a way to discipline them also. But don't belittle them. Don't do it in front of all the others. That also is not correct. So the mother must create the respect and honor of the father in the child's mind. Today, many times, and unfortunately, when the fights take place between parents, and a divorce takes place, then the other part of the side, they are just being totally destroyed. How their character assassination takes place, what they talk of them of both sides, that is totally against Islam and totally against mankind. So that also we should worry very much. And then the preschool we send our children to, where today Darwin's theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory is being taught right at this level already. And the children take it as gospel truth. And we don't know, but how many of our children, cases which are on our hand now, children which we think are our children, but when you interview them, you find their beliefs have changed. Their values have changed completely. They are still with us. They make Eid with us. We'll go for picnics with them. We'll go for holidays with them. They are ours. But when you just analyze a little bit and you just scrape a little below the surface, we will be shocked. I hope it is not with our and our children. Allah save us. But today, many, many cases are coming in where the children's values, their beliefs have not only corrupted, but changed completely. So all that also we must keep in mind. The little girls, they are also dressed either no clothes or very revealing clothes. So tight the jeans are, etc. The t-shirt. And girls today at a very young age, already they develop their breasts, etc. And she looks like a big woman. And all this is very, very harmful. We must give loose clothing. Also on this point that we don't let the children wear ijar when they are small. No orni. She's still a small girl. What must she wear ijar in orni for? She grows up like that. That plant, that tree that grows crooked up. And now when it's solid and strong, now you want to straighten it? Forget it. It's not going to happen. You'll have to break that tree, but you can't straighten it. So the children, we find when we don't give them those habits, then later we want, now she must come in parda, or she must make parda now from her cousins, and we didn't give that habit. Remember again, we are in our Islamic shoes. So in an Islamic environment, from small, the child is growing up like that. Then we can get that great results. How many of our buzurgs, by the age of 5, they were such good hafiz, perfect, very strong hafiz. They were brought up like that. That environment was like that. And by the age of 5, they were already very strong hafiz. In fact, I met one person of Sudan in the Haram Sharif of Mecca. By the age of 5, he says, by that time, I'm reading Quran my whole life. And now he's only in the Haram whole day, only reading Quran Sharif. So this, but we spoil them. We don't give them any of these, this training. So that also we have to think of. Another thing is the hair of the children. Today, unfortunately, the boys have become like girls, long hair. And girls have become like boys, cutting their hair. The total opposite is taking place. So that also, this boy, and it's just difficult to understand how many little boys I've asked, why do you keep such long hair? They just laugh or they run away, but they long hair, and the girls are cutting their hair. It's the complete opposite. And one very important thing is this Nike, which is on our clothing, on the sandals, on many things. This is a Greek goddess of victory. It is just like we got a Hindus, they worship these idols. The picture of that idol we have got on our dressing. Or like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which the Christians put, that he's on the cross. And he's being, he was crucified there. Na'uzubillah, what wrong things. The Nike sign or the word Nike has got the same connotation. So we have to be very careful of that also. And then the other things that is written on the clothes, our Muslim children, for example, just do it. Now, how terrible isn't that? But our children also are wearing this. Oh, I'm the boss. If we put in that in the child, that I'm the boss, then he wants his way all the time. Oh, I love New York. We'll find this also common. And many, many others also. All this, we should be very careful. And this thing over at friends' homes, we send them for the weekend. We couldn't do greater harm to our children than this. How many cases I report in the family, children went and they got spoiled there. There was somebody of a bad influence, and then he did what he did, and the children suffered forever. We sit with a problem. The picnic, the matric parties, rave clubs, drag racing, all these things are not for us at all. So we should be very, very careful and apprehensive of all these things. And also, the feeding of the child, the breast milk, there is a whole subject on its own. There is nothing better for the child than that. And when the woman doesn't breastfeed, then the milk that stays in, this is one of the causes of breast cancer also. And if the milk comes out and the child drinks, that is the best. There couldn't be better milk for the child than that. No other, the bottle that we feed or the tins that Nan and all these other tins don't make the child a child of a tin. Make the child of a human, of the mother, not of the tin and not of the domestic. It was some years ago that one child that was domestic was bringing up the child, and the domestic had AIDS. When she breastfed the child got AIDS. So these things also, we don't know what and what happens. So that is one point, the physical side of the child, a few points. Then as far as the education is concerned, and the education starts also at a very early age. So, when the child is born, if there is dini environment, the child grows up. If there's an academic, Islamic academic environment, the child grows up like that. If there's a secular, worldly environment, the child will grow up like that. And we see it clearly. A child is born in a people who speak Gujarati at home. The child doesn't know language, he'll speak Gujarati. He's born in a home where Arabic is spoken, he'll speak Arabic. A child born in a place where English is spoken, he'll speak English. And every language has definitely got an effect on a person. So it is very, very important that our own, what we are mostly, I suppose, Gujaratis. Anyone else who it is, we should speak our home language at home. Outside we can speak any other language, but at home we should speak our language. Then as far as the education is concerned, So there is the Islamic education and the worldly education. I won't call it also secular, I won't call it Western education. The worldly, what we need. All of us are living in this world. And we are going to need clothes. We are going to need to travel. We are going to need to fill in forms. We'll need a passport. To do all this work, we need this worldly education. Whatever language is necessary, we need it. And nobody denies that. And it should be, which is a principle in our deen, that a necessity should be fulfilled to the extent of it being necessity. Like, it's necessary to fill petrol in the car, so you fill your tank. But you don't fill it more than that. Many of us, we push the car up and down and overfill it and it just goes in the overflow pipe. So you can't overdo it. Water you fill in the radiator, how much is needed? If no water is a problem, you need water. But not over the amount. In everything, food we need, how much we need, and the body makes its own all vitamin, what the body needs. The body is, you give little food, the body makes everything what the body needs. We don't have to overfeed it. But today we over, how many times we say also, I ate till here, till where my neck is, till there my throat, till there I eat. No, we just have to eat so much that fills our stomach reasonably. So the worldly education is required and everyone's need is different. If we want to make our little girl a homely girl, she only needs so much. She doesn't need more. If we want to make a boy a doctor, then he's going to need more. According to that, everyone according to his need. And on that point also, how many women who have got degrees at varsity, today they're in front of the stove. And all that what they learned is just one side. And they are just here. And the other, all these degrees that we are giving particularly to our daughters, almost every young girl doing a course on education through UNISA, through correspondence. It seems that it's quite safe and that. But the minute that degree comes in the hand, it puts that sense of independence in her. Now when the husband sometimes shouts, gets upset, she feels, I don't need him. He's just a burden in my life. I can earn my own livelihood. And that is why the amount of, one of the major causes of talaq and divorce is this. That we just, what you call it, the girl feels, I don't need my husband. If she hasn't got that, she knows I'm dependent on him. She will stay. And those, our old people, made the homes like that. It isn't an unfair oppression on that woman. It is to build an Islamic society. And after all, a woman like, hate to quote the name, and here in the masjid, and with wuzu, but for necessity, Hillary Clinton has written that we took our woman out of the homes. It was the biggest mistake that we have made, and it's an irreversible mistake that we have. We can't change the portfolios now. They are out, and they are out. They are going to stay out. But we are at the moment, for this 1 hour or half an hour left, we are Muslims. So we are the ones that are going to stay in the home. So that is also very important. Then the little child's education starts from small. As soon as the child can speak, let the child say, Allah. Teach the child. Then further, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. If the mother knows certain beautiful poems, in Urdu, in Arabic, and she sings it to the child will pick up on that. One time there was one little boy at the age of 8 in our country, he sat on the minbar and in a whole masjid full of ulama, huffaz, he read so confidently and he read absolutely correct with tajweed. I asked the father, how did you achieve this? So he thought for a while and he said that when the mother conceived him, every day she should read 15 suparas. So that was the result. The child came up like that. But today, we teach them Humpty Dumpty, Jack and Jill. So what will happen? That kind of children will come. All this type of thing. So we should teach them. And then, as soon as the child has a little bit of understanding, repeatedly ask the child, who gives food? Teach the answer, Allah. Who gave us this house? Allah. Who gave us this car? Allah. Let it be drummed in the child. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali says, when he was a little child, his mother should speak so much about Jannah, Jahannam, qabr, akhirat, qiyamah, how it's going to come. One night he fell from the bed, a little child, it happens. He fell and he said, qiyamah, qiyamah. He thought qiyamah came. So much this must be drummed in the child. But today we hardly make mention of these things. We don't even ever talk about it. So this Islamic education is very, very important. And then when a child is still small, the first education we must give the child and make it that it comes alive. Again, we are in an Islamic environment for now. And in Islamic environment, there's one place in India which is called Panipat. There, every child perhaps was a Hafiz. There was one person who came from Turkey and Allah took work from him and he made effort there. And every home, they say in Ramzan Sharif, there wasn't a home, there wasn't a shop, there wasn't a house. And there they got concrete roofs because some are very hot and they sleep on the roof. Every roof, everywhere, they are Hafizul Quran. And they are making Taraweeh. Every little girl is a Hafizah. Every little boy is a Hafiz. We have to bring that environment. Maulana Ayyub Jina, who was from Kimberley, he's in Medina Sharif now, he gave his children when they just were born and they started learning first only Quran, nothing else. No other Islamic education also. Only Quran Sharif. So Allah give us tawfiq that we work in that direction, that our children can attain, become by 5, 7, 8, they become Hafiz. And at that age, one beautiful point, one Maulana of Bangladesh said that children are children. And when they're learning and becoming Hafiz, every time you have to have wudu. And it's not easy. So when they are still not responsible, they are not mukallaf, then if they touch the Quran without wudu, it's not a guna for them. They are still small, they're not yet baligh. And even when they are big, so much, many times they touch the Quran without wudu. Now it harms the hips, because it's a guna they are committing. So when they do it, the hips when they were small, then no problem. And then they become very good. And that guna which a person commits while becoming Hafiz after his baligh, all that guna also doesn't make it easy for him to become a Hafiz. It hampers him. And he has a lot of other problems. Gunas are our worst enemies. They hamper everything. So we should be aware of that also. And then the education of home, Islamic education, is not only they become Hafiz or that they become alims, etc., but that they should know the rights of the parents. Today children don't know. They speak to their parents anyhow. It's you. You did this. You woke me up. You did this. We just speak anyhow. Parents have to be so much respected. But that is not today in our life at all. The respect of elders, etc., whoever they are, ulama, etc., the elders in the family, and still in many places in the world, you see how much of respect the children have got for the elders. The Indonesian children who come here, they are qualified ulama, but you see how much of respect they have got. So that is also an important thing. And then, so worldly education, we don't deny, but first give Islamic and Islamic values. Even if they're going to a Darul Uloom, today, very sadly, and it's our weakness and it's our fault, which we admit, Allah make us maaf. But in a Darul Uloom also, generally, throughout in the world, we're only giving them education, but values are not being given to the children of speaking the truth. How much they lie, the students also, we all of us, today we call ourselves ulama, but we lie so much also. In fact, even in our bayans, we are lying. I'm sitting in a masjid, I'm making bayan. I quote some incident and I add up there or something. It comes in the Hadith Sharif to this extent that if we hear something and we did not verify whether it's the truth and we tell somebody else, you heard this happen today, that is enough that we are written by Allah as a liar. And it comes in the Hadith that a Muslim, a mu'min and lying can never go together. Either you're a liar or you're a Muslim. If you're a Muslim, you can't be a liar. If you're a liar, you can't be a Muslim. But today, mothers teach their children to lie. Fathers teach their children to lie. You must just tell mummy like this. Children, mother will tell the children, don't tell Abba about this. If he asks, just say this, yeah. whatever it may be, how much she messed some oil, she messed some flour, the father is going to ask, and she just makes the children story, and she tells the children to tell the story. We teach them, in fact, to lie. We teach them to swear. One time, in front of my eyes, in a shop, they were non-Muslims, those people. There were some people, and they were talking. The mother told the child that she swear him. So the parents teach the children to swear, and what was in the non-Muslims is almost 100% coming into us. Now we'll just try and end up and round up, and that is a practically how we should love, how we should bring our children up. This is also very long. So the mother should be at home, and then she can be a mother to the child. And the du'as to be recited. For example, choosing the spouse, there also deen should be seen. But today, mostly we only look for beauty. The girl also, the boy just looks for beauty. The girl looks, and then the family also looks, where my child will be secured financially. That how she can be looked after financially. And in the hadith it comes, we should look at deen. And rozi is only from Allah Ta'ala. In fact, our buzurgs write, that we should not be worried one bit that getting big university degrees and for university, etc. There is one judge who was the judge of one country, he's in America today. And what is his condition? Poor person is very, very, he's got no one. He says, I'm just eating the scraps from my sister. He says, he applied for jobs and jobs. Well, it's a long story. But don't think that all the degrees and these things. Rozi, our yaqeen, Allah alone is the giver of rozi. And what rozi is meant for a person, Muslim, non-Muslim, bird, animal, even a snake, even a scorpion, Allah has written it. And there's no doubt they will get. And what is not written for you, you can work from morning to night, you are not going to get it. What is written for you, you can sit at home and you will see, you will get it. I saw this for myself. Allah gave us a practical experience. When we were at the beginning stages of the Darul Uloom, we had to go out for collections. Sometimes how many places we went, people we really expected will give us, hardly anything we collected. We came home sitting here, yes, somebody came and give us the amount. So where it is meant, Allah is going to give it. Where it's not meant, effort we have to make. Islam is not a fatalistic that we don't make effort. But we must have this yaqeen and on Quran. And a person serves deen, what won't Allah Ta'ala give? See, for example, I'll just quote this one instance of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmat, Bare Peer. The great Peer Sahib, and what a great, great, great buzurg he was. Where he went for his learning, his mother had sewn 40 gold coins, dirhams, in such a place in his clothing under his armpit where it could not be noticed. On the way, Iraq was the center of learning. The robbers, highway robbers, looted the whole caravan. They took everything of his also. Then one of them asked him, what have you got? The mother taught, you must never lie. He said, I got 40 gold coins. And that robber had already searched him. He said, this child is lying. He's just playing like children play fools with big people. Over and over, he said, I got 40 gold. He searched him again. He couldn't find anything. He took them to their leader. He told the leader, this boy is making jokes with me. So the leader asked him, the same thing he said. And the leader searched him. He couldn't find it. He asked, where is it? He took it out and he showed. Mother said, you must never speak a lie. On that, they made Tawbah. All of them. They returned to everyone and they became great awliya. Truthfulness. So there are many, many other incidents. Imam Rabi'a, he was in Madinatul Munawwara. For about 27 years, he was staying out of Medina, going in jihad to different places. And he had left about 300 gold coins with his wife. When he came back, he asked, what happened to that? She said, they are very safe and I've kept them very safely. When he went to the masjid, he saw his son, a Shaykhul Hadith, teaching Hadith there. And what uloom and what knowledge he had. Then his wife said, are those 300 coins? I spent them all on his education. She said, he said, you did a wonderful thing. So mothers had spent a lot of money on their children for Islamic education. Today we are only worried of the big, big university fees and we are really just putting them in the wrong road. And what the environment is at the university, we make dua with, and also on this dua, we should remember one thing. One time one person came to my ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib, in the days of apartheid, when the non-Muslims weren't allowed in the non-whites were not allowed in the universities here, she was sending his daughter to England to go and study. So he said, please make dua, you know the environment, she's going to be all alone, a young girl, she's going to be having her car, her flat of her own, she's going to be free, nobody watching her, please make dua, Allah protect her. Hafiz Saab was Allah wala. He paused for a while and he said, what you are telling me is you are sending your daughter in the rain and I must make dua, she mustn't get wet. So he said, that is impossible. It cannot work like that. She's going in the rain, she has to get wet. And this is what we are hoping. Sending them everywhere, my daughter is very good. She's a very homely type. And she goes from home with ijar and scarf. Where she takes it out, who knows. And today, what burqa? And what kurta and beard? What and what isn't everyone doing? So let us not bluff ourselves. Another beautiful example my ustad had given, he says that today we are planting weeds and we are expecting roses to grow. He says nobody first of all plant weeds. Weeds are the worst things. If there are weeds in the garden, we don't take them out when we water the garden. The weeds take all that water. They don't let it go to the lawn even, which is hardy and which is strong. They don't let it go to the other plants. They take it all. Those weeds, they kill off the other plants. They thrive. Very soon your lawn is gone if you don't take out the weeds. Your plants are gone. The weeds are thriving. And nobody plants weeds. They grow on their own. But we are planting weeds in our home and we are expecting roses to grow. We are expecting carrots to grow. We are expecting mangoes to grow. But we are planting weeds. So what we are putting in our children, we should see. And then I don't know where I went wrong in my life. With the upbringing of my children, I don't know where I went wrong. Another very important point here also, in case I miss it, when our children are in our own home, today in our homes, every bedroom has got a board on it. No one can come in. That nobody is allowed without permission. No, the parents must have access all the time. Boys are alone in the room. Don't leave them with some excuse. Go and see now and then what they are doing. Today, terrible things are happening. Brother and sister are alone in the room. Now and then with some excuse, just budge in. You have the full right. You are the parents. It's your home. They can't have what we... Today, they say they want their privacy. But in the name of privacy, what are the things? And when there is a family function, and the children like to go on their own, they go one side. And what were things they do? They're going in the swimming pool. And there also, what were things are happening? Let us, parents must be vigilant of the children. That what the children, they must know. And now and then check in their clothing also. One friend of ours said he smelled little bit like cigarette from his little child. When he smelled his fingers and so protected the child. But the child got involved with other children around. And good environment they were. Just masjid, madrasa and that. We have to be very vigilant on our children. And this is a full-time job for a mother. If she's not at home, how can she do it? And she has to worry of her children. So that also we should be very concerned. And the thoughts the mother has when she has conceived, and the father also, those thoughts have an effect on the child. The purer the thoughts are, the purer the child is going to come. And when the child is born, our Buzurg says so much, husband and wife, legally they are for one another. But in the same room, if the parents do little love making or something, the child is sleeping, it's going to have a negative effect on the child. Though it's 100% legal, husband and wife, it's not some illegal or anything. But that also will have a negative effect on the child. And when the child is awake today, the husband and wife, cuddling, kissing in front of the children, and all this Western way of things that we are doing, this is very, very harmful. Also then, with the environment that we are in, if the environment... Today I'll just digress again a little bit here with the honeymoon story. That we go for honeymoons, we go to hotels and resorts. And one friend mentioned, which brought a change in my attitude also of these things, that this resorts and hotel, only when it's absolutely necessary we should go, and not with a pinch of salt, with a bag of salt. We should just how much it's necessary. But this we are going, the worst sins take place in these hotels and resorts. sexual sins, the worst type of sins, every type across the board, they take place in. Now for honeymoon they go there, or we go for a holiday and we live there voluntarily. And now that environment 100% has an effect on a person. And the honeymoon, the marriage is consummated there. The foundation is like this. They use the pair of our mother's room, bedroom for the first night, where there was tilawat of Quran every day, where there was zikr every day, Yasin Sharif, namazes, etc. That will have the effect on that child. Then the azan when the child is born. If the adhan and iqamah is given just when the child is born, ulama have written, even the child goes out of line, finally mort will come on iman. But today when the child is born in maternity homes, in hospital, we suffer from an inferiority complex. And those people make it hard. And the music that is playing, that's going to have an effect. Then the technique that we have to make, at that time, this khajur and the water and from a pious person, we ask him to chew on that. It will have there are many other bodily benefits also in the technique. That the child is sweet, so automatically it starts chewing. Its muscles are stimulated. And the child starts easily. For sucking milk now, it becomes very easy for the child. And the other spiritual benefits are also different completely. Great, great benefits in there also. Then the aqiqah that we have to make. And the aqiqah also, it takes out all the bala, problems for the child for its life. If we do the aqiqah properly, then all the problems the child might have, it removes all those problems. Then another very important thing, the halal food the child has to have. I'll briefly try to explain. One king of Afghanistan, Dost Muhammad, one time his country was attacked. So he sent his son, the prince, to go and fight the enemy and get rid of them. But the news, military news came that the prince has been defeated and the army, the enemy's army is now proceeding to Kabul, the capital. So the king was very worried, pacing up and down whole night. So the wife, his wife asked him, what's wrong? He said that this is the problem. She said, it's impossible. That child of mine can never face defeat in the world. His whole life he can't face defeat or anything wrong. She said, what do you know? You're a woman who stays in the house. I got military intelligence, which is so well conveyed, etc. Then afterwards, the second military intelligence came. It was wrong information. He is returning and he repelled the enemy and is coming safely. So then he asked, how do you know? She said, when I conceived, I did not even eat your food, what you gave me. Because you are the king, taxes are paid, perhaps it's contaminated, it's not pure, that food. I worked with my own hands. And with that, I worked and I ate and breastfed him and fed him. A child brought up like that can never face any problem in his life. So halal food, and today with all the takeaways and the doubtful food, in fact, pure, what is haram, and we just want to justify and make ourselves happy. We have to be very careful of that also. May Allah tubar ji. Then finally I will end up with dua. That we have to make children for dua for our children. Maulana Ahmed Lahori, rahmatullah alayh, a great, great buzurg, migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and very difficult conditions. They only could eat dar. They couldn't afford anything else. And his wife, and she trained the children and just looked after them just on that. And she made sabr and never complained while they could stay in Madina Sharif. Then he said, this Allah gave me because in all my namazes, before I make my salam, I read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. What a beautiful dua. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi gives the explanation. Oh Allah, hablana, as a gift give us. Not that it is our right, but as a gift. You just give it to us as being Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina. Our spouses also, husband, wife, and our children also. The qurratul ayun means the great enjoyment. It's proverbial, like when a person enjoys something very much, he says qurratul ayn, the coolness of mind. And waj'alna lil muttaqina imama, make us the imams of the muttaqeen, the pious people. In other words, I am the father, mother is the imam in the house. Kullukum ra'in. So by this, they will become pious and you will be the imam of the pious. So what a beautiful dua. So for our children, duas always also. And this dua also, which I read at the beginning, Rabbi, aslih li fi dhurriyati. Inni tubtu ilayka wa inni minal muslimin. That dua is also very, very important. And if we will do this and bring our children up properly, they will be sadaqah jariyah. When we die also, the good they will do. They will make dua for us. It is narrated, just this dua, Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Children carried on making this dua. Mother, father was in the azab of the fire and snakes and scorpions in the qabr. The child made this dua, Allah put the mother, father into Jannah. So we, our children, if we will teach them, minimum every time, three times, qul wallah, we do it for our parents. And let our children teach them, they must do it for us. Then this will help us. And that university education and all that, I don't think they, how many such people, they, because of just whatever little thing, took the mother and threw her out of the house. Took the mother, went and put her in an old age room. One child told his friend, when the father gave him some advice, they asked, who is this man? He said, he's a worker in the house. That father was like a dagger went through his heart. That after I did so much for my child, and I gave him this university education, today I'm the worker of the house, I'm the knocker of the house. So let us get our preferences right, and we can, hopefully we remain in our Islamic shoes now. Not only, I said for this 1 hour, but we remain in that, and we change the tide now. That whatever is happening, we change it. Let not the environment change us. Let we change the environment. Allah, give me tawfiq, give us all. We are weak, but don't just labor behind I'm weak. Let us make ourselves strong in the matters of deen. When it comes to watching deen and watching a video and some porn, etc., I'm very weak. And to do other haram things, that I'm strong. For deen, I'm weak. But for deen, for haram, I'm strong. No, let us be strong for deen and weak to commit gunas. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Read durood sharif. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ta'na ghufranaka rabbana. وإليك المصير ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, bless us to understand that we are Muslims and that we are pure Muslims, and let us become those pure Muslims and let us spread Islam in the world. Ya Allah, if give us the tawfiq that we practice Islam in our homes, in the upbringing of our children, and the world will see what Islam is. The world is reading Islam. Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say, people are reading Islam. They are hearing about Islam. They want to see Islam. One person said that the Islam is the best religion. You Muslims are the worst people. We are not presenting Islam in our homes, in our lives. Forgive me, O Allah. Forgive us all. We have failed very, very terribly. We have failed. Let we make tawbah, O Allah. You have given us the prescription of asking for forgiveness, O Allah. Whatever wrong we have done in our lives, in the upbringing of our children, we repent to you sincerely, O Allah. And you are the great being that you make the impossible possible. And you make the wrong right, O Allah. You are Jabbar. And Jabbar is that being that the worst conditions, he changes into the best conditions. O Allah, the magicians who came and fight Fir'aun, who came and fight Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in a jiffy, in an instance, you made them the strongest believers, O Allah. O Allah, Fuzail ibn Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi, Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, and people now presently living, who were film actresses, who were singers, and you changed them, and their lives became so righteous and pious. In In front of our eyes, these examples are existing. Oh Allah, make us also like that. Change us, oh Allah. Let us not be fooled by our burqa and our cloaks and our kurtas and our beards. Let us realize how rotten we are inside. Oh Allah, we have to come and face you. Oh Allah, we are facing you now. You are watching us now. We have to come into our qabr where we will be alone, oh Allah. Our actions are going to come there, oh Allah. Our bad actions will turn into the fire and into the snakes and into the scorpions. And our good actions will be the gardens, etc. And the beautiful waterfalls of Jannah, oh Allah. Forgive us our sins, oh Allah. You are the oft forgiving. You are the greatest forgiver. You love to forgive. Forgive us, oh Allah, for all our wrongs, oh Allah. In whichever way we treated our wives wrongly. Wives have treated their husbands wrongly. We didn't fulfill the rights of our children, oh Allah. And now we are wondering what has happened. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, let us be those that make all our effort and then we hand them over to you, oh Allah. After having done what we had to do and we got them married in the correct way and with the correct girl, then it is in your hands now, oh Allah. Then it is between you and them. Oh Allah, guide us to righteousness. Forgive us for all our shortcomings. Oh Allah, what had to be said and has not been said, you put that in our hearts. And oh Allah, whatever wrong things that might have been said, you make it correct and put it into our hearts. You are the being that does that, oh Allah. You do it for us. Change all our wrong into right, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, give our human folk the tawfiq to send a man for the program tonight in Jami Masjid after Masjid. And oh, in the Jami Masjid. And let us all to collectively make an effort that we bring up our children correctly, for that we become correct first, and we correct our children also. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.